Welcome to Talk On to Walk On with Michelle Walters, the podcast that celebrates the power of conversation. In each episode, my inspirational guests will share their own stories, recalling times when conversations have led to pivotal moments in their life journey. You will hear about how those conversations and moments of positive self-talk have encouraged and empowered them to walk on to where they are now. The aim of Talk On to Walk On is to inspire us to use words with each other and with ourselves that will change lives. Let's talk on to walk on and see where it leads. I want my power of conversation message to reach people of all ages, but fully accept that young adults may not necessarily rush to listen to my podcast. So one impactful way to reach them is to celebrate, connect, and have conversations with those of the younger generation who are doing great things. And my guest today, Gabby Mendes, is doing just that. Gabby is the founder and director of Talk 20s, not just a fabulous podcast with over 20,000 listeners and a podcast awards nomination, but having recently made the leap into the entrepreneurial world, Talk 20s is now her full-time business. A business that bridges the gap between full-time education and the daunting world of adult life. Just like Talk On to Walk On, Gabby's Talk 20s idea was born out of her life experiences, in particular, her own struggles after graduating from university, a pattern amongst students and postgraduates that is more common than you think. We all remember the hurdles and hiccups of our 20s, a time of tremendous adapting and life learning. But wouldn't it be great if, as young and older adults, we understood each other better to ensure we have meaningful conversations all around this topic? This podcast, I know, will be an example of how we can make that happen. So welcome, Gabby. Let's talk on to walk on and let's see where it leads. So having had a little stalk of your Instagram anyway, I instinctively went to, and you're probably sick of talking about it, was March 2020. And you put something along the lines of COVID can do one now or something like that. And I think it was just as you were about to launch your events business that the COVID hit. Tell me what happened. If you could just take me back to that moment. What happened in March 2020 for you personally?
Well, I think we have to go a little bit before that to kind of building up to this point. So for some time, I'd been building up the courage to launch my own business and platform. And it had taken me until like January 2020 to kind of pull everything together. And my friend sat down with me and was like, help me with all the marketing and all of that kind of stuff. And I'd summoned up the strength, bearing in mind this had been a plan for probably about 18 months before, if not longer, to be honest. And I'd kind of pulled all the strength to do it. And I really wanted to do in-person events for 20-somethings to teach you all the life skills, all the stuff they never teach you in school about being an adult, and to be a support system for young people who, when you step out into the big wide world, it is scary. You don't know what direction you're going in. There's no guidance. There's no support. So I wanted to create that platform. And I wanted to do it for in-person events. Obviously, coronavirus had other ideas. So by March 2020, I had to consider the other areas of the business that I had potentially considered, but never thought was going to be my sole kind of thing that I did. And a podcast on that list. And I think at the beginning of 2020, I thought, it would be nice to do 10 episodes of the podcast. It's just like a little mini series, just to get people warmed up for the event. In 2020, I ended up doing 31 episodes of the Talk 20s podcast. And it became the thing that we're probably known for, like the thing that people find first before they find all our online courses, in-person events and all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, the podcast is probably our biggest thing that we're known for now, but I had to pivot massively. And yeah, obviously March 2020, I was like, I'm done with this coronavirus. We'll do one. I'm not resentful of that anymore. I'm like, this, it brought me on this path. So, you know, I'm actually like, yeah, I'm at peace with it now.
And what an opportunity that you took. And fair play to you, Gabby, for making that pivot. I like the word evolve. I think pivot can be a little bit of a scary word, can't it? Mm-hmm. But it's part of being in business. And you've learned that at the very, very early stages.
Yeah.
And it's a priceless lesson, to be honest, because once you've done it once, if curveballs come again, you'll be ready. You know, it's always really scary, but you will be ready for that next change and that next curveball.
Because I think like last night was like a curveball for a lot of people. Like that was like a mini kind of, you know, a lot of people who've invested a lot of time in Facebook, Instagram, growing their platforms that way, you know, for them, that's probably a big wake up call to go, well, maybe I should be focusing on things elsewhere and not putting all my efforts into this one thing. So I think that's where, like, kind of diversifying, you know, if you are a business, like diversifying where you're putting your efforts can sometimes be a good thing. Cause if something can come in and wipe out your one thing that you're good at, that can be the end. So yeah, evolving. I love that word.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I do know that obviously podcasting has obviously taken off. I think people are going, oh, not another podcast, not another podcast. But it's an incredible way of communicating, isn't it? How have you found, you know, obviously you weren't expecting, it was in the mix. How have you found making that connection? How have you found talking to people, particularly for yourself and your guests? How's it helped you in your business and in your confidence?
Oh, massively. I mean, I didn't realize how much the power of conversation has. Like, you know, I've made some really, really, really great connections, friends, you know, so many people that I've met through the podcast. It has been amazing. And, you know, a lot of people come off the podcast and say, wow, like, I really need to have that chat. And so it's really nice, to be fair.
Yeah.
Podcasting is an amazing tool. I was listening to them for ages before I started my own. And I think I kind of felt like I had a different spin on things, you know, former teacher, wanted to kind of promote life skills and those conversations that people weren't having in their 20s about, you know, the difficult things that they were going through. And it evolved from there, really. I think the power of conversation is amazing. And when we do it through podcasts, it's even better.
Oh, I know. Well, that's definitely my why. And I know it's part of yours, which is why I connected with you. So go on. I'm going to have to ask you to take us back to your why, which is in intrinsically linked in Talk 20s, is your experience. So tell us what happened.
So I went to the University of Birmingham when I was 18, just like most people went to university. And I studied a course. It was very varied. It was kind of a little bit of psychology, history, sociology, but it was all about how we learn as humans. And it was a really, really interesting course. But most of my course went on to be teachers. And I panicked. I absolutely panicked. So when I got to the end of it, I was like, it didn't feel right. But it also was like, what else am I going to do? And at the time, my boyfriend really wanted to move back to the Wirral, which is obviously just over the water from you in Liverpool. And I was really open to that because I was like, I loved the city. Every time I'd visited, I just fell in love with it. It's hard not to fall in love with Liverpool. Mm. And so I was really okay with that. But I thought, I don't know what I'm going to work on or what I'm going to do. So in the end, I don't want to say I caved, but I just didn't know what else I was going to do. And I thought, well, teaching would be great experience, even if I just give it a go for 5 years or whatever. It'd be really great to kind of give it a go. So I applied, got my application and kind of set myself off on this teacher training course. And it was the toughest 2 years of my life. Like, I have to put it there. Like, my mental health was at an all-time low and it was really a challenging time for me. And I know that's true of a lot of people who graduate from university making that step out into the big wide world, but I really felt it hit me like a ton of bricks. And in my second year of teaching, I was only about 21, 22 at the time, but I was given a form of sixth form students. And they were obviously like 17, 18, all thinking about going off to university. So I wasn't that much older than them, right? Like, it was literally, the only difference between us was I'd been to uni and they hadn't done that yet. That was literally it. So they were asking me questions like, Miss, like, what's the best debit card that I should get? Or Miss, like, what's it like moving away from home? Or Miss, like, what's the best career steps I should take to get to where I want to go? And I was like, no one really talked to me about this when I was in school, and no one's really talked to me about it since. It was kind of like, do your three A levels, pick which one or what course you want to do for university, and bye-bye. There was no like practical life skills. And I was like, why is no one teaching this? And obviously I've got a degree in like education as a whole and the sociology and the psychology of it. And so I already had been kind of trained in my degree to kind of quite heavily criticize the education system that we have in the UK and how it's very geared towards grades. And that's how schools are assessed. So that's how, you know, if your students are getting good grades, you're a good school. And so that's probably their main focus. So actually getting students prepared for the outside world becomes less of a priority because obviously they're very focused on being the best school, because then you can get more funding and then you can get the best students. And then it's kind of a cycle that goes round, around, around. So I had quite a cynical approach of the British education system. And I felt like a square peg in a round hole, basically. I couldn't be in that environment and I couldn't basically push those thoughts outside of my head. And I thought, well, one of the things that I think is so important and I'm going to champion forever. And everyone always says this, oh, it's talk 20s, you're going to do talk 30s, talk 40s. I'm just going to be a champion for life skills. That is my career right now. That. Yeah, my business might be talk 20s, but I'm going to be a champion for life skills. And I wanted to create a platform that people could still learn once they left school, university, not in like a corporate boring way, but in a fun way. So I had this idea for in-person events. So I left teaching and got a job in events to gain experience so that I could then launch my own. And within all that, you know, was trying to build Talk 20s on the side, then a global pandemic, then a podcast, then I quit my job and I've decided to go for it full time because I just feel so passionate about doing this. And I do think that there is no one or no business out there that are doing this right and providing that support for people once they leave university.
I 100% agree. And I'm literally just nodding away with gusto because it is the one thing I've always banged on about very similarly. I mean, I've pivoted a lot in my career as well, but I've always, I went working class background, but threw myself into books for various reasons and ended up as a lawyer, for God's sake. I mean, and I remember getting there going, what the hell? How the hell did that happen? And it was, to be fair, slightly different because I was genuinely interested in it as well. And I loved the actual, you know, the course. And I wouldn't say I loved the course, but I actually liked the idea of helping people and, mm-hmm. and justice. But obviously when I got there, it was completely different. It was all about money and business and charging. And, you know, it was the important stuff that was driving me was just shoved to one side. And after 10 years, I was like, and you know, different curveballs came along combined with being disillusioned. But I do remember my 20s, you know, I ended up leaving the law, but I do remember my 20s, you know, people look back a little bit with rose-tinted glasses and, you know, you've really made me think and look back. And I go, it was a bit, pardon the expression, shit, to be honest. Because you're just navigating. It's like you say, you're just navigating in the unknown, murky waters. And there's so much expectation of you when you come out of university, isn't there? Mm-hmm. You know, it took me back to my mum being ever so proud. I've become a lawyer and telling everybody. And I was just like, no, just don't tell everybody because I don't feel that confident in myself. I don't really know what I'm doing. I've got this label. I'm expected to be fast and brilliant and, you know, technically amazing and then get moving with friends, get a job, travel, you know, there's all these different things that are expected mm-hmm. of you during this massive decade of growth. It's hard going. It really is.
It's a lot. And this is the conversations that I'm having constantly on the podcast. Like, how can we be all of those things at once? You're pretty much setting yourself up to fail. No one is going to be able to do all of that. And I think one of the things that we try and talk about much is that, like, nobody, no matter their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, nobody has it all figured out. Stop putting that pressure on yourself to do that. And I think no one was really out there telling me that. Everyone was like you say, like I was the same with teaching. Mum was like, my daughter is a teacher. And I was like, hang on, mum, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be a teacher for. So, you know, please don't do that. But now she's proud. Like, yes. not saying that she wasn't back then.
She probably
but
still doesn't quite get what you do. My mum used to my mum's passed away now, but she used to say, did you get lots of clients today, you know, when I was networking and stuff, she didn't quite understand, you know, did you get paid?
Yeah. Like,
we'll talk about being in business in a second, but yeah. And I just want to take you back to that moment of, you know, you forced yourself pretty much, well, you felt forced to go down a particular path of teaching because everybody else was doing it. Were you worried about people's opinions and you know, did you feel societal pressure to stick on this safe path that society likes to put us on? People like to put us in boxes.
110%.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like a yes and no. It was kind of like I refuse to be just called a teacher. Like, it used to infuriate me when my sister used to say to me, like, shush, you teacher, like, stop getting your teacher voice out. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm more than just a teacher.
Label. Mm.
But then at the other end of the spectrum, I was like, this is what everyone like wants. They said, this is good. Like, you know, you should be have a consistent career and, you know, but ultimately it boiled down to the fact that, like, I was just not happy. And I think for a lot of people in their 20s, like, they're not prepared to necessarily say that or open up about that or show that because it shows vulnerability, right? It shows that I've not really picked the right path. And like, I knew that deep down inside, I had not made the right decision to go that way. It's taught me a lot. And like, if I didn't have that experience, then I wouldn't be where I am today. So I don't necessarily regret it in a way, but like, if I could go back and maybe my path would take me somewhere different, but realistically, I wouldn't want to put myself through that again, because it didn't feel right. It didn't feel aligned with like what I believed in, what I wanted to do. So like ultimately, when it boiled down to it, I just wasn't happy. Like,
yeah. And what were you comparing yourself to other people? Were you worried about other people's opinions? And was that stopping you from making the change?
Yeah, I mean, teaching is a funny game. So if you want to leave teaching, you have to hand your notice in about 4-5 months before you actually leave. So like they offered me a job to obviously stay on after my NQT year, and it was actually to teach drama, to move from French to teach drama, and like it would have been slightly improved, but I still didn't want to be in the teaching profession. And I got offered that job, and everyone knew that I'd been offered that job and turned it down. And it was kind of like, well what have you turned it down for? And I was like, well, I don't know yet, because I can't apply for any jobs because I can't start next month, can I? Like, I'm still teaching. And so it was this weird kind of few months towards the end of the year where I was having conversations with my colleagues who were like, so what are you going on to do? And I'd be like, I don't know, because I couldn't get a job that was going to let me start in like 3-4 months time. And so it was kind of the look of like panic in their eyes, thinking like, oh my God, like you can just quit a job and just like not know where you're going. And then they started making me panic, and I probably went into a bit of like a, you know, stressed out mode. And yeah, sure enough, September came around, you know, and I got my job. Like, it was absolutely fine. But the panic and what other people, it kind of reflected onto me. And then I was really stressed and really worried about it. Whereas previously I'd made that decision because I felt confident that I could find a job and I could move on and do something different. So I think, yeah, fear of what other people think, you never really know how much of an impact it's going to have on you. But I think you have to go back to that, like, deep down, you know, what was your reasons for doing it? And I knew all my reasons were right. And also, I think there's a little bit of jealousy. A lot of teachers there who maybe do want to leave, perhaps feel trapped by the system. Like, it's, you know, because you have to give it up so early. No one can have a job ready. So there is a kind of system where it's like, you can't really leave.
Yeah, well, you need to be brilliant that you absolutely felt something in your gut and you listened to your gut and those whispers. And they, I guess they kept coming back to you, even though people were trying to keep you in your box and on that straight path line and sensible line of becoming a teacher. And we do get wrapped up in what other people think of us, and it does potentially stop us in our tracks, doesn't it? And I think there's a saying, what other people think about me is none of my business, or something like that. And you've got to interrupt those thoughts and come back to what you want and what you believe. Was there anything that anybody said to you at that time, you know, in terms of opening up? Did you have a moment of, I need some help here?
Yeah, I mean, at the time I was really struggling like with my mental health as well. And I think I had to literally open up to my mum and dad and say, look, I'm really struggling here. And it was, I think when you, especially when it comes to mental health, a lot of time you feel like ashamed for, you know, you worry about what other people are going to say, or you can't really find the words to articulate it. So I had literally just broken down so many times with my dad. I said, look, I'm really, really struggling. I don't think this is making me happy. And my mum and dad just turned around to me and said, well, what will make you happy? And you must do that, because we cannot see this over and over again. We cannot see being unhappy. And like, ever since, like, the way I look at it, like, I recorded a podcast with a really amazing young person called Gemma Burt. She's a psychotherapist. I don't think she has a platform on social media anymore due to her job, but she came on the podcast and she talked about the further you are away from your ideal self, the more that you'll struggle with your mental health. And it's one of the theories of like, you know, when do we struggle with our mental health? And for me, that is probably the most accurate representation that I can describe about when I struggled with my mental health. And it was because I was so far away from the person that I wanted to be, or I felt like I was so far away from helping others or doing what I believed was right. I was so far removed from that I just didn't feel like I was myself. And for me, that was when all the kind of anxiety and all of that kind of stemmed from. So I think, you know, although my parents have never really understood, and they are the people that get a job and stay in it because it's, you know, then they're not entrepreneurial one inch. Like, I don't get that from them at all. And, you know, less risk takers, like they're very safe and stuff like that. Ultimately, they turned around and said, the only thing we want is for you to be happy. So yeah, I think that was kind of a really key moment. And it's kind of like the green light to say, yeah, this is the right decision.
Such a powerful but simple statement. We just want you to be happy. It's about you and not anybody else, and not other people's opinions, not comparing yourself to others. And it's so lovely that you've got your parents to be able to talk to on that. In terms of university depression and anxiety post-university, I I hadn't really heard about it. It's not really, is it documented? I mean, do the universities document this kind of stuff now? Maybe more so now post-pandemic, but I'm guessing it's a lot more prevalent than society wants to acknowledge.
Have you heard of the phrase postgraduate depression?
I haven't, but now you've said it, it makes absolute sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people struggle from it. And I did. It's kind of like university is a bubble, right? You're literally in a bubble and, you know, you're having a great time, you know, opportunities are there. And all you've got to focus on is passing your grades and having a good time, really. That's university in a nutshell. Postgraduate depression is basically when that bubble bursts, you know, and you're thrown out into the real, like, big wide world, and nobody's talking about how they're feeling. You're kind of put on the same platform as, like, someone who's, you know, been out of uni for ages. Like, you might be going for the same job, and someone might be 31 and you might be 21. Like, it depends what kind of role you're going for, but, like, you know, you're pretty much just given the same as everyone else. And so postgraduate depression is something that I hear more and more people talking about. It's not well documented, though. I have to be perfectly honest, there isn't enough research about it. There are small fragments when I've been doing my research, there are small fragments out there, but like not enough at all. So for me, I think it's something that we need to look at a lot more, because this is exactly why Talk 20s exists, to be a platform where you can open up and have these conversations, and know that you're not the only person who is going through that. Because I think when you graduate, you look at everyone else, what everyone else is doing, and you think that they're having a wonderful time. Social media makes us think that we're all having a wonderful time, that life is going swimmingly, and you're the only person that has the issues or is struggling. Like, it makes you feel like you're the only one, when in reality that is not the case at all. And the more that I opened up and talked about this, the more that other people went, oh god, yeah, my early 20s were pretty crap too. You know, so it's something that we all go through, so why isn't it researched?
And just in terms of, you get there's an expectation again from society to, well, what job are you going for? What are you going to do next? Where are you going to live? Are you going to buy a house? Have you got a boyfriend yet? Have you got a girlfriend yet? You know, again, people like to keep you on that straight and narrow path that makes everybody feel safe and secure, and it doesn't hold a mirror up to them in terms of their own lives, you know?
I think the questions we should be asking is, are you following your dreams? Are you going after what you want? Are you happy? That's what we should be asking those people, not by those measures of what society is telling us we should be. I think those are the questions we should be asking.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have a mentor at university at all? Or was it just a bit of a tick box in terms of...
A mentor academically, yes.
Okay.
As in a mentor that taught me through all my assignments and helped me that way. Pastorally, you know, in terms of helping me get through uni life, no. Oh, I didn't have that. And I don't know if many people do. I don't think it's, you know, there's all the departments like careers and, you know, well-being and stuff like that. But I feel like you only get to those places when you are at devastation point. I don't feel like you access those things early. And to be honest, they're not very well, you know, documented. I won't mention the university that I've been working with recently, but they have 8 members of staff to help with the careers section of 26,000 students. How can 8 people support careers for 26,000 people? That's just nuts.
It is nuts. But I think you might have found another gap in the market, Gabby. I know you probably want to solve all the problems, and you can't let that overwhelm. But it's definitely part of your vision, I'm guessing. Part of that bigger picture of Talk 20s is try to get the students ready before they leave, not just sort of put the plaster on afterwards, you know, after the people have been down that anxiety, depression path. The one study I did find, it said City Mental Health Alliance. I mean, again, I just did a quick look, and it did say it was probably slightly pre-pandemic, but out of 300 students interviewed, 49% admitted to mental wellbeing decline. And after leaving uni, and I think perhaps it's probably escalated. Yes, there's all those similarities to when I was 20, but on top of it, you know, I did pay for law school, which was like £5,000, which is, you know, you look back and you're looking at, exactly, you're like, wow, you won the lottery. Now you're looking at 50 grand, you know, aren't you? That on top of the expectation, on top of everything else, that the normal life problems that are causing these issues.
The other thing is that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, going to university was basically like job. You'll definitely get a job as soon as you graduate. It was kind of almost like a definite. It was like, if my mum and dad went to university, you're like, I don't want to say it, but like, you know, you're guaranteed a job and you're going to get a good job because university students, they're amazing. And now everyone goes to university.
Yes.
So you don't stand out. So there's no guarantee of a job at the same time. And then it costs so much more. So being a 20 something right now is like, oh my God. And then you start looking at house prices.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago, what was it to buy a house? And like, also when you then start comparing like starting salaries and stuff like that, there's not been that much growth there. You know, in terms of salaries haven't grown in the rate that house prices have grown. We've still got that massive debt over our shoulders. We've probably got, our generation is probably going to pay for this pandemic. It's a lot of stress we're putting on young people right now. And I think a lot of people are feeling worn down by it and, you know, and just worrying like how they're going to get through all of that.
So in terms of what Talk 20 offers, coming full circle back to you and then your leap into going full time, tell us about Talk 20, because we've sort of set the scene of the why. So tell us about what you're doing and how you're going to go about it and what the vision is.
I've got huge goals. I am one person though, so I'm taking them day by day.
Yeah,
obviously we've got the podcast, which is a kind of our firstborn. And essentially there's so many different episodes on there where we talk to different people in their 20s about a certain area that they are an expert in, and also talk about their experience of life in their 20s. So we have the podcast. I think we're on about almost 50 episodes now, which is great. So that is kind of like number one. If you're kind of looking for someone to listen or someone to kind of relate to, you're going through all of these things and you kind of just want to hear other people experiencing those things, then I'd kickstart with the Talk 20s podcast. We also have our online courses, which we're going to have a big revamp for the new year, which I'm really excited to start working on. But at the moment, we've just got the first time buyer guide. So if you're looking to buy your first property, there is literally a step-by-step guide where you can literally learn everything that you need to learn about that. So there's going to be plenty more courses like that, workshops and online stuff that you can get involved in, because we're really passionate about having these conversations and making it accessible and easy for young people to do these things, because it's you know, barriers have been put up and we need to knock those barriers down. And then lastly, our in-person events. So we're doing our first in-person event in October, which is this month, which is only a few weeks away, 20th of October, at Pins in Liverpool. We're going to be doing a live recording of the podcast. We're going to be talking about friendship in your 20s, because it's been the topic that so many people have asked us to talk about, but you can't really find an expert on friendship or like who is an expert about that. So we're going to talk about our own experiences in a setting where you can meet other people and network and make new friends. So that's really exciting. But yeah, like hopefully just growth. You know, I'm going into universities and delivering workshops to university students so they are prepared to leave university, and working with other businesses who kind of nurture young people and stuff like that to try and deliver our content as well. So there's lots of different ways that we're kind of going about this. Online shop full of positive quotes, prints and stuff like that. We're trying our best to kind of cover all bases. At the moment, it's just me and a team of volunteers that work on Talk 20s, but hopefully chat to me in 2 years' time and we'll be...
There's absolutely no hope about it, Gabby. I mean, your energy, your passion is so infectious, and it's just brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, because we met briefly at a live event. We can mark
we
our
did.
Little place we, in history.
It was the first, it was the first one. It was the first in-person event that we were allowed to do in the country, in Liverpool. It was amazing. Good business festival, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And as I say, your energy and at that networking event, sometimes, you know, I have over networked myself to death in the past. I'll be honest, this can be mentally absolutely exhausting. However, I built my business and who I am through the connections and contacts that I made from that one-to-one connection. Okay, you go into a room full of people, but my tactic was always just find one or two people, just stick with them, and you never know where it leads, you know, have that conversation. And I think I zoned in on you. We chatted for a good while and I haven't forgotten. And, you know, you make an impact when you speak. And I love that about you. And I love your why and I love your purpose. In terms of, you say you're on your own with your team of volunteers, and I'm going to come back to the mentor question. You said you didn't have one at uni, and then Talk 20s is filling the gap on for that wider platform. For you as a now businesswoman, who are you talking to? It can be a lonely place.
It is, yeah. I think actually what I've actually done, and this is around the friendships idea again, is I have I would say my closest friends that I have right now, I have made in the past 2.5, 3 years. Like the people I talk to every single day are the people that I've kind of met at events or met online because we share common vision. And they're the people I find myself speaking to a lot. So I feel like I'm very fortunate, and I've deliberately done this, but I've surrounded myself with like-minded people. So absolutely, I don't feel alone in this journey. If I've got a question about business, and when I left my job, it wasn't just about having confidence and belief in myself. I had confidence and belief in my network that if I didn't know the answer to something, I sure as hell knew someone else who would know the answer. So for me, I think confidence in that area has been a massive thing. And they're kind of like having mini mentors all the time. You know, I've got a friend, she's a solo business owner as well. We voice note pretty much all day, every day to one another. This is what I'm up to. This is, so I feel like I know her business and she knows, like, I feel like we're colleagues and we always share ideas and bounce ideas off them. She was the first person I mentioned, you know, I'm thinking about doing this event too, and all of that kind of stuff. And so for me, I kind of surround myself with those people. But in terms of kind of like having those conversations, I do have a life coach that has pretty much changed my life. She's a really good friend as well. And I feel like she has been a really great person who has helped guide me, because, you know, I'm not geared up to be an entrepreneur. I don't have it in my blood. It's not what, you know, my family done, but I know it's something I can learn. I know it's something I can teach myself, you know, like, so it's been really great to be able to talk through all the challenges that I'm facing and go, well, actually, none of this is fixed mindset. Like, I can absolutely grow into this. You're not like born an entrepreneur. You don't have to do it that way. Like, you know, this is something you're learning, and the more you can talk about it with other people, the better.
And I love that. You're the sum of the people you surround yourself with. And I love the fact that you talk to friends, and that combined with other business owners mm-hmm. who are also friends. And I think you've got to have that trust in each other as well. So I love the fact that you've connected mentorship to friendship, because mm-hmm. it is about having that know, like, and trust with each other to listen and help each other along the way. Because if they're helping you, you can then help them, which increases your confidence, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And I also just, that the life coach, I mean, absolutely. It's something that I've only literally just discovered through lockdown, having taken that pause. Again, I tried to talk to the right people, but I never really had one particular person that I instinctively went to all the time. I was your classic trying to do everything on my own. Oh, I have to solve mm-hmm. the world. I have to solve the world's problems, and I have to do it all by myself. Burnout prevails, you know, it will happen to anybody. So I'm massively reassured that, you know, you're smart enough to have done that. And I acknowledge the fact how important it is to communicate with other people and the right people. Absolutely brilliant. There was something else that you just said, and I can't remember what it was. I was going to pick you up on it.
Not being born an entrepreneur.
That was it. Did you see me react to that as well?
Yeah, I see you react. Yeah,
that was exactly it. I think you said you were into Simon Sinek. Did I hear you say, have I read that somewhere? And I think he says that they're problem solvers, because I often have entrepreneur on my, you know, that on your Instagram when you open it up to business, you have to put yourself on a title, and there's all these titles.
Mine's the same.
Public figure. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, entrepreneur. Oh, all right then, I'll go with that. And I was like, and I struggled with it. Again, I had this moment of self-doubt. And he describes entrepreneurs as problem solvers, disruptors, people who see the gaps. I mean, if you ask any of my friends, it's always like, well, how can we do it differently? How can we do it better? How can we get there quicker?
I'm the same. So Simon Sinek is great.
Yes.
So he's probably
Let's
right.
Let's take it.
Yeah.
So we can definitely label ourselves as entrepreneurs, Gabby, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that, because it's a really fresh take on it. Doesn't mean you have to employ millions of people or there's some people who do that are not necessarily entrepreneurial. They're not necessarily great leaders. It's just happened to have gone that way for them. So I think mm-hmm. you can definitely label yourself as an entrepreneur without a doubt, even though we don't really like labels, but it's something that is bandied around, and it's something that you can have a little bit of imposter syndrome about. You know, I've been doing various things on and off for years, and I still struggle with the term. But when I heard him say that, I was like, I'll take that. So I love that. In terms of, I always ask this question, and I know you're younger than generally the demographic that I'll probably have on the podcast. But what I do is people say, oh, target a demographic, Michelle, and you've got a very definite demographic that you're targeting. But I'm just like, I'm at an age where I'm like, oh, bollocks to it. I just, if I can hit one person, whatever age, whatever background, mm-hmm. I count that as success. But I always ask the question about your advice to your younger self. But I'm going to ask you that, but I'm also going to ask you to have a little think about advice to our generation as well. So let's start with the younger self. What would be your advice to your 16, 18-year-old self?
I think it has to be follow your gut and do what makes you happy, because ultimately, like, if you worry too much about what other people think, if you're doing things for other people, if you're trying to make other people happy with your decisions and stuff like that, you're never going to be able to thrive. And like, the only way that I have been able to kind of go after what I want is by choosing the things that make me happy. I wouldn't be doing this if I wasn't happy. Like, it would, that would be stupid. And I would genuinely like say that to people. I'd be like, if this ever stops making me happy, I would quite happily own up to that and say, you know, I'm not enjoying this anymore, this isn't for me, and I'm selling the business or I'm doing something else. So I would quite happily say that, because I feel like life is too short to spend too much of it being unhappy. Like, and I've already know that at 26, and that's just because my early days when I was teaching and stuff, I was a little shell of myself, and I never want to go back to that person. I never want to experience that again. I only want to do things that are going to make me happy. And if that means leaving the job, if that means, you know, for some people leaving the relationship or stuff like that, you know, I feel like sometimes you have to make hard decisions in order to ultimately be happy. But if you trust your gut and know deep down that that's the right decision, then I think that's right to do it. So at 16, I'd have just said, you know, follow your gut, do what makes you happy. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, that might be, you know, a lot for a 16-year-old to do. But if, you know, when it comes to like having kids and stuff like that, that is what I will tell my 16-year-old, is you have to do the one thing that makes you happy, the one thing that you know you're going to enjoy, because you're going to be doing it for a long time. So
absolutely. And then in terms of us oldies, come on, how I'd like to think I'm pretty down with the kids. I've got two stepkids in their 20s. My daughter's now 19, heading towards, I asked her the question yesterday, you know, I try and teach you everything, Hannah, but it's her journey is her journey, isn't it? And she's just gone off to uni and she's over in Manchester. And interestingly, the one thing that she did talk about was finance and buying your home and she's like, how do they do it? And so, and I know cover a lot of that. In terms of you giving advice to our generation, those people who go, oh, you know, they don't want to communicate, they're on their phones all the time, you know, all those generalizations about millennials, you know, I actually think you're a actually massively smart generation. I think the one thing that I'm hearing and that I love is that you won't settle. You're not going to settle. It's not a job for life. You don't have to stay where you are. We demand personal development. We demand to be well looked after by our employers. We want our own careers. We want our own businesses. We're not going to stick to societal expectation. I love all that. I'd like to think I'm quite enlightened, but tell us, what do your generation want to say to us?
I think our generation get called horrible terms like snowflakes because we stand up for what we want, or we won't say yes to a job that makes us unhappy. We won't settle for all of those things. Oh, you're a snowflake. You couldn't hack it, or you can this. But ultimately, there is so much going on for young people right now. And I think it's about not cutting young people some slack, but realizing how many things we're trying to digest at that moment in time. I feel like as I've gone through my 20s, I've settled a little bit. I've gone, okay, I've started to understand that a little bit more. I've started to understand this. I've kind of found my feet with my career, kind of found my feet with my finances. I've got a partner and stuff like that. But I think for anyone who has a young person in their household, or, you know, regularly is in contact with young people, there is a lot going on. And I think sometimes that just gets brushed under the carpet because you've already got past that stage of realizing how tough those parts were. And like you said, Michelle, you look back on your 20s with rose-tinted glasses, but you even admit that if you actually boil down to it, you found that really, really hard. And I think we very much glamorize that, oh, I was just having fun, I was having a great time. But actually, no, that was a really, really hard time. And I think it's just remembering that. And it's kind of times a million right now because of the pandemic. You're not being able to go out and even have that fun that you're supposed to be having in your 20s. You're not allowed to go and travel the world like you're supposed to be doing in your 20s. So 10 times harder to actually reach all those expectations that young people have at the moment. So I think it's about understanding like the journey that they're going through, and that it's quite intense in those early years of your 20s.
definitely think that we can all learn from each other. And that's, again, one of the reasons why I invited you on. And I want my podcast to have young people, you know, because I know that young people aren't going to necessarily rush to my podcast. But I think if I have those conversations, I'm going to learn from you. And likewise, you know, these are the types of conversations I want to be having. I want to stay awake to what's happening in the world and not just stay in my little comfort zone of what my life has become, you know. And that's why I'm testing myself. And I'm ready to have a coffee with you, Gabby, so you can tell me all about how I get over the fact that I need to put myself live on Instagram, go up YouTube. I've got my one little show reel on there. I'm like, oh, that'll do, you know. And I know I've got it, you know, I've got so much to learn from your generation, and I'm really excited by it. I'm not surprised you were named 30 under 30. You're recognized as potential for changing the face of Liverpool. And I know you're not from here, and you said you loved it, but you had an initial wobbly start. How did that feel to see your name in the Liverpool Echo as somebody changing the face of the city?
Mad. Mainly for a number of reasons. Jodie Comer, Killing Eve. She's on that list.
Good old St. Julie's she went to just around the corner from here.
But she's amazing, isn't she? And she's, you know, BAFTA award winning.
But you'd love to get her on that list.
Oh my God, I would love to. The Vivian, who won the first season of The Drag Race from Liverpool, obviously. Incredible. Curtis Jones, absolutely killing it for LFC at the moment. They're all on that list. And then you scroll down and then there's me. Well, actually, no, I'm on the front cover. Like, I'm actually up there, like, at the top.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I'm on the cover. There's three of us on the front cover at the top of the article. I didn't know that was happening. I woke up on Boxing Day of this year, and the Echo had obviously put that out. And to be honest, like, I burst into tears because I was like, wow, like, some, you know, Talk 20s was still so new then. Like, it was, I'd only been a year old, and someone had recognized me in the top 30 of, you know, people in Liverpool. But I think it's also the fact that I didn't come from here, but I have definitely built my roots, and this is my home now, and this is where I want to be. And I might not have the Scouse accent, but I love this city so much. I absolutely love it. Living in the Northwest is, you know, is amazing. And despite living on the world, I spend so much time, you know, studios in Liverpool, the business is registered in Liverpool and stuff like that. So, you know, I absolutely love this city, and it's just a different vibe. It's a different atmosphere. It's amazing people. It's, you know, from Gloucestershire originally, went to uni in Birmingham. Liverpool's where it's at.
Absolutely. And I have a husband who has, I bought him a plaque, adopted Scouser. So I think I'll get you and Patrick together, because he's lived all over the world, and he wouldn't be anywhere else. He has to say that. But I actually do believe it. You know, it is very special once it gets into your skin. It doesn't ever leave you. Gabby, I know you've got to go because I know you've got a busy day. I've absolutely loved talking to you. The city is safe in your hands, I'm telling you. The 20-year-olds are safe in your hands. I love the fact that you've worked on your own self-confidence, that you listen to your gut. I love the fact that you were able to open up to your mum and dad, who said to you, you know, the most important thing is for you to be happy. And that's the message that what a ripple effect. It's such a simple but powerful message that they gave you permission to just be who you want to be, you know. And now look what has come from that. Look at the platform you've created. Look where you're going. And now that's the advice that you're giving to other people. Honestly, you should give yourself a massive pat on the back, round of applause. I wish we were together because I want to give you a massive hug. I massively admire you, and I really do want to stay in touch. And I want to make the friendship list maybe next year. I'm sure I'm in a very long queue.
Oh, bless you. No, absolutely. We should definitely get coffee sometime. I'd love that. But yeah, thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast. I think it's amazing what you're doing. Talking is so important. And, you know, this platform that you're giving people to kind of share what's helped them, I know is going to be helping so many people and so many of your listeners. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Gabby. Mwah. Love you lots. The simple yet powerful art of conversation and communication should never be underestimated, and I would love to hear your thoughts and feedback either via the contact form on my website, talkontowalkon.com, or on my Instagram at michellewalters_. Also, I'd be thrilled if you could help the Power of Conversation message to reach as many people as possible. To help achieve this dream, and so that you never miss an episode of Talk On To Walk On, please rate, review and subscribe. remembering that the simplest act can have the largest impact.